This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
You're listening to The Write Room Podcast with me, Rupen Paul. I'm a stand-up comedian from India, and this is my weekly podcast, a show where I have conversations with people whom I consider accomplished, entertaining, and inspiring. Hello, and welcome to The Write Room Podcast. My name is Rupen Paul, and you are listening to another solo episode that I've been recording by myself, because no guests, obviously. I got to keep this podcast going, guys, because, you know, every once in a while, I'll find a really cool guest and have a really cool conversation, and it can't just be some space between previous episode and the next episode, right? So I thought I'll come up and show up and do a small episode for you guys to talk about a bunch of things. As you can see, this is quite distressful times for stand-up. There's this comedian called Munawar Faruqi, whom I'm sure you might have heard of if you've listened to this podcast, because I understand that most of you listening are fans of comedy and do watch stand-up or are comedians themselves, right? And he got arrested and he's still in jail for a joke that he did in an earlier video. Kind of dealt with like religion, kind of dealt with the Hindu gods, and he's still in jail right now. And I saw the video of, you know, when he was confronted by someone who was an MLA's son, right, and who was still working for a political party, and he handled the situation so calmly. It was just amazing to see, because I don't even know if I have that much of emotional intelligence, I guess, right, to handle that situation. But he was really calm and he was trying to say like, hey, just listen to my jokes, you're going to be laughing. And it was really interesting to watch how he was able to pull that off, given how young he is. He's way younger to me. Like, I met him probably 2 years ago. I didn't meet him particularly, but we were both doing the same show, and he was at the show and he sent me a message saying like, hey, I really liked your set. And so he was really kind to me. And it's really sad that this happened right now. And I think it all goes to say like how we have, you know, so much of, what is the right word? We have so much of hang-ups, right? And we have so much of conditions that we place on ourselves, especially because many of us are deeply into religion, and many of us deeply inherit religious beliefs from our parents, from our family, from the society that we grew up in, that anything that's even slightly touched upon in terms of our faith, we take it very personally. And this podcast episode, I just wanted to talk about that, about why is religion so touchy, and why are we so touchy about, you know, our faith? You know, if I had to be honest, like, I believe in God for sure, but I'm disappointed in religion, and that is also for sure. I just cannot understand the point of any single religion that has ever existed. It's just a bunch of rules that was made by some guy to get you to follow him, right? And I say him specifically because it's all guys who start religions, and or a group of men who just started religions, and women had to just be, supportive of their men at that point of time, because the man was the head of the family and the woman was just like subdued and had to follow whatever the man thought was right. And it's gotten to a point where I don't even understand. I don't think I personally don't believe in like a true religion. I think every religion at some point has got its flaws and frauds, because it was created by man, and it was, the rules were written by another man, right? Or even the unwritten rules. And there are so many unwritten rules. Like, every religion has a set of written rules, and it also has a set of unwritten rules which people still follow. And that's quite disappointing, that, you know, we're still giving it so much of thought to a point that we have to depend on it so much for our own happiness. Like, look at this entire Munawar story. Like, this guy was actually upset. He was actually upset that someone made a joke about him. Like, how insignificant your own life has to be that it depends on other people to make you happy or to make you feel at peace. And I think it, like, you're like the person who's, you know, who obviously is responsible for this is getting a lot of backlash. But you know what? In every single religion, there are those fanatics. Did I say it correctly? It's fanatics, I think, right? There are those people who are really fanatical about their faith. And, you know, like my own religion, right? Like, I grew up so religious for the first, how many years? I would say the first 11 years of my life, because my dad, my mom, they were heavily into church and all of that, that I realized that there has to be a happier way out. There has to be a definite way in which people can still lead their lives without, you know, the church just controlling it. And particularly in my religion, Christianity. Because, you know what, I realized that the church as an adult right now, there are so many other adults like me, right? Like older than me, who are really regular to church and who build their life around their church. And you know what the strange thing is, as an outside observer, I know from my experience that the church doesn't prepare you for reality. Because if you see what the church has been trying to do, right? Like you just try to see them. They're trying to create a really safe space. Like even if you like music, you can only listen to Christian music. If you like comedy, you can only listen to Christian comedy. It's everything is so safe. Like why are you trying to create a safe space? The world outside is not safe. The world outside is not a utopia. And you do this and you try to create it like a club, right? Like, you know, we're going to have events from on Tuesday. We're going to have like some event where you can come and spend time with other people who also believe in the same thing as you. And then on Thursday, you come again. And then Saturday after church, you stay a little longer. And it's I don't get this, because you know what happens? You know what happens over here? What happens is that you just get used to a form of life which you think is normal, which is like other people who also believe in the same God as you in the same way, and you follow the same rules, and then you go out to your work, and you go out to the world outside, and you realize that it's not safe. And that's the truth. The world outside is not safe. There are horrible things outside as soon as you get out of your place of worship. There are cruel people, there are evil people, there are sick people, there are assholes, there are people who are going to mess your children up, there are going to be people who are going to mess you up. There's going to be all of that. And what are you doing in preparation for that evil world? Because you know what the problem is? People come to a particular place of worship, like in this case, like the church, right? They come every Sunday or every Saturday. And then there's the rest of the week. And all they look forward to is coming to church again. Well, how about if spirituality and like this entire thing of spiritual education was actually like a tool instead of, you know, some place that you had to show up ritualistically? What if it was actually a tool that will help you deal with life? You know, like for example, meditation, right? Meditation is a tool. It's a tool that helps you relax. Likewise, exercising is a tool that helps you bust your stress. It helps you keep your heart rate in check. It helps you keep your health in check. And eating healthily, that's also a tool. By knowing about diet, you are aware of the food that you're putting in your body. So shouldn't like spiritual education, first of all, prepare you in a way that your life is something that you can handle, even if it goes really bad or even if it goes through a tough point as you live your life? Shouldn't it be a tool that helps you cope through life? But what happens over here is many people just come to a place of worship and they get so obsessed by it that it gives them a sense of spirituality and a sense of calm and a sense of peace that they just want to be there all their lives and just want to be with people who also share that same belief. And that is just escapism, right? Because you're not actually working for what life has to offer. And the thing is, let me again tell you, I know that there are people right now thinking that, hey, my place is really cool or my place of worship is really cool. No, it's not. Like if you look at the stats, if you open your eyes a little more wide, you would realize that every place of worship is either corrupt and it's extremely just a place of darkness. And this is a known fact. Like look at if you look at Christianity and you look at the Catholic Church, right? The Catholic Church has been known for pedophilia. Everybody is speaking about it, right? And they made that movie. I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's a beautiful movie and it's based on reality. It's not fiction. The saddest part of the movie is based on fact. This movie called Spotlight, where they cover the child molestations in the church. And it's absolutely heartbreaking to see how the Catholic Church went and manipulated that narrative. So every time there was a vicar or there was a bishop or there was a priest who molested a couple of children, what they would do is every time they would get complaints, they would just switch that bishop or vicar or priest to another parish. And all the cases would be whitewashed. And who were these children that were molested? It was all people from like, you know, really low-lying areas, low-income areas, right? So like basically all the poor children, because as soon as a poor children see someone from the church, it'd be like, oh, the priest wants to come to our house. Right? And the priest uses that power. He comes to their house. He'll be like, hey, you guys are actually nothing, but I'm here I am. And then he manipulates them and he uses that power to molest them. And that's what happened in the Catholic Church, which is still happening today to some extent. And if you're like, you know, divided between, there, of course, in Christianity, there are different churches, right? Like even the Protestant church, if you see what's happening, there's a famous church called the Hillsong Church, right? In Australia, it's a mega church. It's a huge ass church. There's a lot of people that come there. And at this mega church, the main guy who founded the church has molested a couple of people, and a story came out about him. And this story has just been subverted. So his son has actually got a case against him for, like, you know, manipulating the course, or for just like hiding that piece of information. And there's so much of sick things that are happening in the place that you think is really safe. So the first thing is, I think, you know, what happens is all our spirituality, all our religion comes from our parents, right? I think parents ought to tell their children that, you know what, you have to be prepared for life. And it's not, I think parents should know this, that the church is not a great place to prepare you for life. And I don't think, for that matter, any, you know, like any institution can prepare you for life. This is something that you have to figure out yourself. You have to figure it out by building a set of values for yourself, and for learning those values firsthand, or learning the importance of those values as you navigate your life from time to time. Which is why I think there is always a need for transparency. Every time, like, there's a kid who wants to open up about an issue, like if he's not able to open up about it to either his friends or his family or someone who can help, right? That's a huge problem. That means there was something that was you know, messed up while that kid was brought, raised, right? Like that kid doesn't even have an outlet to go to. And I think that is something that we really need to change, because, you know, people are, you know, as part of human life, we are going to make mistakes and we are going to fall flat on the ground. But we need some point of, you know, reflection, where we can reflect and we can also reach out to someone for help. And I think that's how we make our lessons. I don't really think anyone can prepare you for reality. The only thing is, I think as a society, we need a place that people can come to, right? Or let me put it this way. We need to be there for someone if they need to come to us for help when they fall down. And I think it's as simple as that. I don't really think any institution, any political party, any church, any religion, any temple, mosque can help you. You just have to learn how to navigate life through yourself by building your own set of values, which you kind of build every time you fall. Every time you fall, you realize something that doesn't work, and then you make a rule for yourself. And I think that's the only way out right now. Because even if you see what's happening in any religion, right? Though they're not preparing you for reality, what they are preparing you is for an afterlife or a reincarnation and all of that nonsense. Here's the thing, okay? Like, you know, every religion, they say, like, you know, this life is not important. This life is just temporary. And what is really important is the life afterwards. The eternal life is more important than the present life. And I think, from what I believe, what I've observed, that is a farce. That is not exactly true. Even, like, the people claiming that, like, you know, the afterlife is way better than this life are very hypocritical about it. Let's take, like, my religion. Like, my religion, you don't live your life lavishly over here. You don't live it happily, because every time you say, like, there's only so much of happiness you can experience in this life, right? And they say the best life is the life that is yet to come. But at the same time, we really care about this life. And let's be honest, right? Like, why do you think, like, every time we fall sick, like, we want to get healed? Why do you want to get better? It's because we want to live a little bit longer. If you were so obsessed about the afterlife, you wouldn't even give a crap about getting better. All you would think of is, oh, I'm a little bit sick. Let me just not get it treated, because this life is just temporary. Let me just leave everything behind and all the people that depend on me and just go about. It doesn't work that way. I think we all really like this life, and this life is really important to us. And it's important that we treat this life with respect too, and not just respect in a very arbitrary sense where we're respecting people who are older to us, or respecting rules and respecting things, but also respecting ourselves and our families, right? Like, these, like our family depends on us. We got to be there for them, and we got to give them the best possible life. And likewise, ourselves, it is our duty to enjoy our lives and to have the most, you know, the richest possible life in terms of experience, in terms of friendship, in terms of relationship, in just in terms of realizing your full potential. But if I think what happens with many people from different religions is that they have just signed off from this life. They said, like, I don't really care. I don't really care about this life. And all I care about is the life that comes after. So they've already packed up and they're ready to go to the next life. And, you know, that's really horrible, because I was just doing some reading, and this book called Emotional Intelligence. And what emotional intelligence, like, is a very interesting concept. He says, like, you know, when you are aware of your emotions, you're able to read the emotions in other people. So every time there's a confrontation, you automatically know, okay, this person is just yelling at you because they're afraid of something. And that gives you a tool to kind of pause and reflect and not respond immediately in retaliation in saying something hurtful to them that will probably later hurt yourself, right? So in this book, it was saying, like, when you see someone who is whose hair is like just moppy and untidy and not set, wearing really horrible clothes, you know that that person has given up. And that's how a lot of religious people live their lives. They've already given up and they're all ready to go somewhere else. And that is kind of sad, because, like, you see, the reason why you're here on this earth, we didn't have a choice to be here, right? Like, our parents gave birth to us and we're here. Now, of course, you can find a reason to why you're living. That's, I think, which is your duty as a human being, to find the reason or the meaning to your life. Like, what is the one thing that you want to accomplish primarily in your life, right? And that is up to us to find. But it's also important to know that, you know, even though we had no idea to be here, the best we can do is live as well as we possibly can. Because I believe that life is sacred, right? Like, you know, life is sacred. A lot of religious people say life is sacred. And I believe the same too. It is sacred. So stop living like it's not. And if anything is sacred, you'll want to treat that with respect. So start treating yourself with a little bit respect too. And start living a good quality of life. And I think that would solve, like, so many things. Because we believe, we have so many, we think two ways about so many of our beliefs. Like, at one side we say life is sacred, but the way we live our lives does not reflect that life is sacred. We just treat ourselves so poorly. We don't take care of ourselves. We don't take care of our families. We don't take care of our own needs enough. And we don't take care of the needs of, you know, the family that relies on us that much. And that's not particularly a good thing. So I believe, like, you know, if your life is sacred, your life should show it. And even this whole thing of life is sacred and life should be preserved, I don't really agree on it on so many levels. For example, what is the word sacred? Sacred means that you worship God, right? That's sacred means, like, it's really set apart for God. That's what it means. Now, is all life sacred? I don't really think so. I think the people who say life is sacred are the people who are not particularly gone through so much of horrible situations in life. For example, a person paralyzed, not able to eat, not able to drink, who's just kept alive by a feeding tube. Do you really think they are worshiping God? I don't think so. I think they're in too much of pain. You have to be realistic about it. They're in too much of pain to even acknowledge anything. Like, forget God or religion or whatever. To even for acknowledge, like, their own feelings. And they're not in control of it, right? Like, someone who's just kept alive by a feeding tube. And that's why I believe, like, you know, this entire debate on euthanasia or whatever that's happening, it's been happening for a long time now. Like, how are you getting in the way of someone else's life? Someone else is suffering, and the only thing that is keeping them alive is medicine and a feeding tube and oxygen. I don't think you really have control over that person's of life, because you believe that life is sacred. Maybe your life is sacred, but theirs is not. And I think the more kind of thing you could do is to just let them go peacefully and painlessly, right? And to let them go painlessly. I think that's the only thing that we are left with right now. I think we can't just generalize. We can't just formulate a set of rules and a set of templates that we can pass on from one generation to another generation. These things keep updating because life changes. Life is difficult sometimes, and it gets more difficult as time passes by. And I think we need to be more aware of the times that we are in and accordingly be kinder and more accepting of it. And I think that's what it has. It requires a lot of individual reasoning, right? And I personally believe, like, you know, your faith has to be worked out individually. Someone can't hand you their faith, man. Like, you know, someone can't just say, like, hey, here are a set of rules that work for me and it's going to work for you too. Is that really what it is? Like, are you just going to accept everything because it's easier and because people are going to accept you? Or are you going to take some time and pause and think through everything? Because a lot of religion is just mass hysteria and grandiose. And we love things that are grand. We really do. Like, when a celebrity says hello to us or waves to us at an airport, we feel like God touched us. And I think if you have not met a celebrity, if you have ever, left a comment on an Instagram post of a person you really admire, and the person just liked, you'll be like, oh my God, you liked my comment? I feel approved. I feel like God has touched me. And I think that's the same thing with religion. The same way, like, a spiritual leader approves of us, we feel really lucky. But remember, like, you know, all of these grand things, they don't last forever. When all the hysteria is over, like, for example, even like Titanic, right, was in the box office, was a box office success. But even that, immediately after a period of time, had to be replaced by another movie. And I think that's how the entire thing with religion is. It's going to be there for you for a while. It's going to make you really happy. And when all the hysteria is over, it's only going to be you back to your reality. And then the question you should ask yourself is, am I truly ready? Am I truly prepared to face this current moment? And if the answer is no, and you're just waiting for like the next time where you could go and, you know, go to a place of worship to realign yourself, then maybe it's not really working, right? You can't, like, for example, like if I can't find happiness, I stay in Bangalore, right? Like for me, I had to find happiness in Bangalore because this is where I spend most of my life. I can't just say the happiest part of Bangalore is when I go to Kashmir or something like that, right? So then every time I want to be happy, I have to take a flight and go all the way to Kashmir. And how long would that be? That would just be for a few days at the most, and then it's back to Bangalore. And if I can't get used to reality, or if I'm not prepared to face Bangalore, then I've just been escaping, and my entire life is just going to be a huge escape route. So I think you need to be, I think it's time for us to question this, right? And question how seriously we take this, or the importance that we give to our belief system, and to even question if our belief system is even working. Because if it is working, then we would be prepared to face life. And like a small thing, like a comedian making a joke at your religion, or like you, like a podcast that's being talked about, all that you believed, and is shedding light on all the probable shortcomings of your belief. If that makes you really uncomfortable, and it really makes you a violent person, and makes you want to stop things and disrupt things, then your belief is just a petty belief that, you know, some guy put forward to you, and you've just inherited because you want to make that person happy. And that is something that we need to think about. So that's what I wanted to say on this podcast. So let's hope things get better, and let's hope with each passing generations, people question things for the better, and we move towards a much kinder place firstly, and also move to a place where there's more justice, and move to a place where we make it better for each other, and we prepare like our, like the generations that are coming, for a more realistic life, and give them a set of tools, maybe through spirituality, that will help them and better equip them to deal with life and to be more courageous and to live a much richer and a much more truly more happier life. Let's hope that happens. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. I hope you like this podcast, and I'm sure you would have like your queries about this podcast, and I want to let you know that I'm very happy to have a conversation with anyone who wants to have a conversation about this, right? As long as the conversation is civil, as long as the conversation is more along the lines of, you know, I would like to understand why you said that, and I would also listen to you all about why you feel differently. But if it's a conversation just berating this, or berating any of the ideas discussed in this podcast, then I'm not going to waste my time, because I have other things that I've got to do and other things that require my time. That being said, thank you so much for listening. And hopefully next month we'll be back with a new episode with a bunch of new guests, and we continue having conversations like this. Thank you so much for listening to The Right Room.